T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Christian Garrett stepped away for a little while. He'll be back on from 8 to 10 tonight, and he'll recap the day and the press conference certainly with Sean. So Bobby and I got it from 6 to 8 tonight. We'll have Lance Moore on at 6:20. But, Bob, we're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Got a lot of people waiting. We're going to go to Philip in Natchez, Mississippi. Philip, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Mike, Bobby, who that?
Who that, brother?
I want to give a suggestion for the next coach, but also thank Sean Payton for all the memories and the success he brought to us. Believe me, I knew what it was like before him back in the dark ages. My suggestion for head coach, and everybody's talking about it, let's keep it in-house. Let's offer the job to Dennis Allen. I hear Pittsburgh is want to talk to the secondary coach,
Chris Richard, yes,
their defensive coordinator. He could step in to Dennis's spot, and Pete Carmichael could be the offensive coordinator. We keep everything in-house.
Well, you know, Philip, you got to go to the interview process as far as minority interviews.
I tell you, a guy that's going to get consideration, and that's Aaron Glenn,
who was here and
is now the defensive coordinator with the Lions today.
Yeah, when you look at Philip, the Rooney Rule, you have to go through a process that the NFL, they look at all teams and all owners and what you have to do. You can't just say, oh, we're going to stay in-house and we just going to hire Dennis Allen and then have Pete Carmichael just take over the offense, because Pete Carmichael with the offense has been unbelievable. I was telling Mike this. You look at the Bounty Gate year. I mean, I have to look this up, but I know definitely we were top three, if not number one, that year. There was a game against the Colts. We scored over 60 points against the Colts. Now, I know Drew Brees is the quarterback, but it was unbelievable. But Sean's at home. And Coach Carmichael's calling the plays. It was truly unbelievable what he did. And then you even look how he managed the play calling, because you want to win the game. Listen, Sean was out because of COVID. We won 9-0 against Tampa Bay. So Pete Carmichael is like almost a clone of Sean Payton. Maybe not the personality of a Sean Payton, but he knows Sean Payton's offense. I would say the three-headed monster. I would say Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and Pete Carmichael. They knew a Sean Payton offense about as good as it gets in the world. I mean, even over Coach Lombardi, who left to go to coach Justin Herbert and run the Chargers offense.
Man, I want that job.
Yeah.
With Justin Herbert, man, that guy is up a level talent. And, you know, you just got to smooth out the rough spots in his game.
Right.
It's not like you coaching him how to throw a football.
No, you're pointing him in the right direction. But that might come. You got to go through the process.
Yeah.
You got to go through the process. And to me, if Aaron Glenn would be the head coach, I think Dennis Allen's coaching somewhere else.
I agree with that.
He's somewhere else. The Saints have a winning formula and what it takes. What I mean by winning formula, to be a contender. Oh, well, what about the Super Bowl? Well, everybody wants to freaking win the Super Bowl. But can you be a contender where you're on the cusp of winning 9, or 10 games or double-digit wins, and then you're not like a 5-12 or 6-11 type team.
Yeah, and I think there's no question. If you're putting up the betting odds, Dennis Allen's in the number one spot, and I think Aaron Glenn's in the two spot.
Well, if you look,
I think Dennis would be the favorite at this time.
Hey, I can tell you right now, if you're looking for a minority hire because of the Rooney Rule, I would take Aaron Glenn head and shoulders over Eric Bieniemy. I'm telling you, because who you familiar with?
The familiarity with the team. I understand what you're coming
from. And how you structured that, I would tend to go with Aaron Glenn as the head coach of minority hire over Eric Bieniemy, and you keep Pete Carmichael to run the offense.
Thank you, Philip. We appreciate the call. We're going to go back to our Oakland Heart Duelist talk and text line. We're going to go to Andy in Alexandria, Virginia. Andy, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, I guess it was a real slow news day today in the sports department, so.
Yeah, nothing to do, brother, nothing.
Oh, yeah, just a great, you know, playoff weekend. Man, wasn't that Mahomes guy really great?
The only thing, Andy, Mahomes not part of the Who Dat Nation.
If he would be, Sean would still be here.
Yeah, but we're going to be part of the Who Day Nation, though. That's what it's going to be.
No, because of Joe Burrow, I agree with that. But I can tell you right now, Andy, Mike and I have talked about this. Sean Payton, okay, I'm going in a different direction of my career. You cannot tell me.
Won't be unusual.
Okay, you cannot tell me if we had Deshaun Watson or we had a Russell Wilson – Aaron Rodgers, yep, our quarterback for 2022, he ain't freaking quitting.
Sean would have been there.
He ain't quitting. Hey, listen.
Sean would have been there.
Without a doubt. Come on. I mean, he don't trust Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. Come on. You know that.
He's got all the cards. He's not going to have a quarterback. Hey, time for me to cash my ticket.
Amen.
God bless you all. And we're going to see him on the Sundays.
See him on Fox.
No, we're going to see him on Fox. We're going to see him on TV.
I hate that word.
But we're going to see him on TV, and then all of a sudden, he's going to
– you're right.
All of a sudden, 2024, Sean Payton's coaching again. 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. I just hope he don't go to the damn Cowgirls.
Here's my deal. Wherever he goes, if it's 2024, you're getting compensation.
Hey, you get compensation. Like Mike said, because he's still on the contract over the next 3 years, the Saints will get compensation because Sean Payton is that valuable.
But he's going to go to Atlanta. Watch some fun.
To me, if he goes back home, that might happen. I'm not saying that won't happen, but to me, the situation would be to go back to Chicago now, because you can win with the Bears. I mean, come on, they're living back in the 80s.
Here's my deal, New York. I think that
New York or Chicago, because it's a major market. New York, Chicago, LA.
He's used to that new market. He was in New York.
He can handle that. Yeah.
Make that money.
American
money. At least thank God he's not going to be working as a maitre d' over at the Cannon Restaurant.
No. If he's looking for a job, right, Abraham can help him out there.
But Andy, I can tell you the advantages over like a Bears team or let's say like the Giants or a New York franchise.
He
would have way more say-so than he would in Dallas.
You're going to have no say-so in Dallas.
As long as Jerry Jones is still alive.
Now, Steven is a different guy.
Than his dad.
Totally different. But as long as Jerry's cranking up the motor on the car, I think he's going to keep a lot of those guys away from taking that job.
Everybody knows Jerry's a joke.
Yeah. But Jerry, I said this before, he got so many billions, he would give up a few of those billions just to win another Super Bowl. I'm telling you, he is so desperate to make the Cowboys relevant.
Any man will sell his soul to get a championship. Trust me.
Thank you so much for the call, Andy. We appreciate it. Let's get one more call in. Let's go to Danny in Stevensville. Danny, you are on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. You're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Yes, sir. I'm wondering why the heck not one reporter asked him if he spoke to Jerry Jones.
Because he probably didn't. And even if he did, it's not, the timing's not right. I'm not saying he couldn't eventually end up with the Cowgirls, but it's not this season. It would be almost that the Cowgirls fall on their face again next season, because it's amazing. 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. Now, what's going to happen in 2023, 2024? That's like ancient history. I mean, or ancient looking into the future. You don't know what's going to happen. No, that might occur. That's the only time I would not be a Sean Payton fan if he ends up in Dallas. Yes.
Danny, think about this, though. It's one thing to be like a drinking buddy or a pal with a guy like Jerry. It's another thing to work for him, because Jerry wants all the spotlight. He wants all the credit. He wants everything on Jerry. So, you know, I think about it. You know, would you want to work with your best friend that you know you might kind of clink the glass with every once in a while, have a drink or whatever? Or would you want to work with a guy that you got a lot of control with and that you can call the shots?
I have to deal with him every morning. Every day. Every day. Hell no. So I'm telling you, the best thing for Dallas fan base is that Jerry Jones would not be in the picture if you want Sean Payton to be part.
Steven Jones is a different guy.
I agree.
He's a totally, totally different guy.
I agree.
Talked to Coach O about him, who knew him well, because he actually coached him at Arkansas for a little while.
Right.
He was disciplining him, not knowing that he was Jerry Jones' son. Danny, thanks so much for the call. Go ahead, Danny.
I'm on board with Pete Carmichael. I think he'd be just as good a play caller as Sean Payton, if not better.
Well, he's done it in the past. I don't know if he'll be better, but he's like a clone of Sean Payton. He's like Sean Payton Jr. Listen, Coach Carmichael don't have the personality. He's an introvert.
Yeah.
If you have a conversation with Pete Carmichael,
it's few words.
He's like shy.
Yeah.
He's like shy. Doesn't mean he doesn't
know
football.
That's why he hasn't gotten a head coaching job.
Doesn't mean he doesn't know football. No, Pete Carmichael knows offensive football. He would be unbelievable. Just look back to the Bounty Gate season and what he's done when he's given opportunity under Sean Payton to call plays. No, the offense is like top three, if not number one in the whole NFL.
Thank you so much for the call, Danny. We appreciate it. We're going to take a few minutes and throw this to a break, and then we'll come back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. And we'll have Lance Moore, former Saints wide receiver, will be on with us right after this break on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Christian Garrick stepped away from the mic a little bit, and he'll be back at 8 o'clock. We'll do this from 8 to 10 with Christian. He'll be recapping today's events with the Saints and Sean Payton walking away from the football team. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, former Saints wide receiver Lance Moore. Lance, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. Let's get to it, man.
Lance, you were here before Sean, and a lot of people don't realize that. You were here before Coach Payton took over as the head coach, and we saw the evolution of you as a player and how you fit so well into what Sean wanted to do offensively. We had Zach Strief on, and he said he thought the biggest measure of Coach Payton's success was his ability to change with the times as the players sort of changed with the times. Your thought, you saw the early Sean, and then you saw the later Sean, and now you're covering it from the media from another standpoint. Your thoughts on the evolution of Sean as the head coach in New Orleans?
You know, I was just on with ESPN in Baton Rouge probably an hour ago, and I said that exact thing, that he was such a stern and hard-nosed, lunch pail-type coach all the way back in 2006, and for good reason, right? He's trying to build something special, kind of weed out the guys that don't fit what exactly he was trying to do. And to see him in the last several years turn into more of a fun, loving players coach. And obviously, like Zach said, I mean, he changed along with the players because he understood and he understands people and human nature and psychology as well. I mean, he's such a well-read and studied person that he knew that he had to change along with the times, and that evolution was beautiful to see. And it, as a player, a former player, it's like, man, I wish I played for that guy. Like, that's a completely different guy than the one that I coached that was super stern on the sideline and still yelling and dog cussing guys when they're running off the field. Like, that's a completely different coach these days. But you know what? It's a completely different player, and he gets that.
Well, you know, Lance, you could be old school, new school. If I put you in the slot and you're getting open, and that's all that matters. At times, you might say, different individuals you're counting on, and it depends who's the quarterback and all that. But I think the Who Dat Nation always appreciates you because what you brought to the table. I'm not saying you were an overachiever, but I know you maximized your talents. And we need more players like you to contribute to the passing game.
Lance, adding to what Bobby says, what Sean was great at was moving you outside and putting Colston in the slot too.
Yeah, to be flexible.
And how flexible he was with the talent he had on hand.
Well, yeah. I mean, Sean is one of the most innovative offensive minds that we've ever seen in the National Football League. He did things differently. He was one of the first coaches that I can remember that was constantly changing personnel groupings, getting different guys on the field, keeping the defense on their heels and not giving them any kind of read or indicator as to what was happening. And yeah, as a receiver, shoot, we all love being able to move around because potentially that could give us more opportunity with the defense is not being able to get a read on what we're doing. And yeah, I mean, he was great at sometimes drawing things in the dirt on the sideline of a game, and you know what? He called a play, and it would work, and everybody would be like, man, this guy is a freaking genius. Just such a bright offensive mind and great leader of men. He's definitely going to be missed, obviously, as the head coach of the Saints, but
yeah.
You know, you cannot put a price on someone's mental health. And I don't think he would have come to this conclusion or this decision without really – seriously considering, you know, his options and what he truly, truly feels in his heart is necessary.
Well, because we ain't got no damn quarterback. come on, if we had Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or Deshaun Watson in-house, Sean ain't freaking calling this press conference. No, he don't know about Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill and all, was the future. I mean, I'm keeping it real. I'm telling you, if we had those cats in-house going forward, Sean ain't retiring now. I mean, he's going to go forward. He has 3 years left in his contract. Now he's going to go do TV. And then if he wants to come back to the NFL, you get compensation for him. No, it doesn't matter to Trigger Man. I mean, I'm just going to keep it real. And all I know is, Lance, the future or the next head coach, I don't care whether it's Dennis Allen, Aaron Glenn, or somebody outside, but it's hard to be the man when you follow the man. If you know what I'm talking about. I mean, come on. Look at the Dolphins. They're trying to replace two guys. Who's the next Dan Marino or Don Shula? I mean, right. When you think about that. So, when you look at that, that's a big challenge. I mean, Sean is like, you can make a Mardi Gras float and make him like a figurehead. he is truly that impactful, what he's done for the Saints over 16 years. Because you don't normally last that long. If you last a decade, that's impressive. Even a Jeff Fisher. I told Mike to tell you this. You look at Jeff Fisher in the transition. Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans, and he parlays that to go to the Rams. He lasted 17 years, but he was part of the transition. That's unbelievable. That's why Sean always said, and I think Lance, you would agree with this, 21st century. Who was the poster child? Belichick and Tom Brady. Okay, what are they doing? I want to copy that. And you know what? If you look at it, Sean Payton and Drew Brees, their 15-year relationship yielded the second most wins by a head coach and a quarterback duo. It's Belichick, Brady, Payton, Brees, Tomlin, Roethlisberger, Don Shula, Marino, Chuck Knoll, and Terry Bradshaw. I mean, that doesn't happen by accident. That's what we've witnessed. That's not an opinion. That's fact.
Lance, your thoughts on this, because you were in those meeting rooms. You were around this. The relationship he had with Drew, it was a special one because a lot of times—
Magical.
People who are at the top of their professions, there's a little friction there. And we saw it happen at the end with the Patriots, with Bill, and with Tom. But you were there. Sort of give everybody a little insights on that relationship from your standpoint with Sean and Drew Brees.
It seems like you never had that, Lance.
Yeah, I mean, look, first, Bobby, I totally agree with you. If Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, I don't think Sean is having that press conference today. But that's not the reality, right? We don't have him as our quarterback. And there's still so much uncertainty as far as the cap. Who's going to be available? What is it going to take to land one of these guys? And I think with that uncertainty, I think that just basically helped Sean make that decision. But to your guys' question about Sean and Drew, I mean, to me, a lot of times when there's a quarterback and a coach, one is obviously the superior and the other is the subordinate, right? Like the coach is the guy that's the figurehead,
right?
And the quarterback listens. But to me, a lot of times in those meetings, they almost felt like peers. Like they were brothers, like they were on the same level, and Sean allowed the dialogue to be as such. If Drew had something of a concern or something that he really liked, Sean was always open to that. And that level of communication and trust in one another, I think that was a big part of them being able to be so successful together. And then you add to that, right, you compare it to a Brady and Belichick situation. Well, Sean's first head coaching gig was here in New Orleans. Who was his big-time player and quarterback when he first got there? That's Drew Brees. Belichick was a head coach long before Tom Brady came to the NFL.
Yep.
He had been coaching in the NFL forever. So,
man, Lance, you probably were a little boy. Bill Belichick did win jack with the Browns. I mean, I played against Bill Belichick.
But he was the head coach, though.
No, he was the head coach, and then Nick Saban, secondary coach. That they all got, they're out of there. They didn't win nothing with the Browns. To the trigger man does matter. It's that combination of that head coach and quarterback to truly be special, I believe.
Don't we look at Andy Reid different today because of Mahomes?
Oh, without a doubt.
Instead of Alex Smith. Nothing against Alex, but hasn't that level been raised because of Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid?
Yeah.
100%. I mean, basically, I mean, if you want to say it, that Patrick Mahomes is the standard, and, you know, that's what every single team is going to be looking at. You know, how can we get the next Patrick Mahomes? But it's silly because Aaron Rodgers has been doing this for a long time, a lot longer than Patrick Mahomes. And last I checked, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to win the MVP again this year. So there's still some really good veteran players. But, you know, like you guys said, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the standard moving forward.
Well, look at Sean McDermott with the Bills. Aren't you in charge of the defense? You got the number one defense. You got 13 seconds. Come on, you got Jared Allen. I mean, Sean McDermott, you got the right quarterback. Come on, they screwed the pooch on that.
They screwed it on the special teams. Kick that ball as a squib kick and take a few seconds off that clock.
And special teams. Lance was always part of special teams because he would never fumble a punt. You know,
you don't give you no credit, Lance, for a return guy. Come on.
He was going to catch it. No, he's going to catch it. He's not going to. Look at the Packers and how that yielded to the 49ers.
All year long, it's been a cluster.
Well, I mean, come on.
Special teams.
I mean, if you're old school, Lance, going forward, now you might look at what's sexy and the Rams, and you look at Joe Burrow and the Bengals, Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. You know what's old school? And the NFL don't want this because the freaking Jimmy G and the 49ers, how all of a sudden, how about if they win and Jimmy G doesn't even have like 25 passing attempts? Or it's like below that. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, look at the 49ers, how that's kind of old school football, how they win.
But you know what? They're built to win in the playoffs because
yes.
they're gonna be physical on both sides of the ball. They're gonna control the time of possession and the clock by running the football, and then they're gonna play hard nosed defense. They're not gonna give up anything cheap. They're gonna make you earn every single point that you score, and they're gonna be able to turn the ball over. I mean, they have exactly what it takes, and then yeah. they've got a super dynamic playmaker and game changer on offense, and Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk is finally playing well, and Jimmy G basically just doesn't have to just don't screw it up, and you guys have a chance to win. And they found a way to win.
Well, and you know, Lance, before we go to the break, let me tell you, Deebo Samuel,
he's been awesome.
Okay, he's supposed to be a receiver, but he can hang with the running backs. Oh, well, what does Deebo Samuel do for that team? You want to talk about a dog. We always said, who's hard? Who's a dog? Deebo Samuel. And, I mean, he's unbelievable.
And think about it. The Bengals have stole a page out of the 49ers playbook. They're doing some of the same thing with Jamar.
But he ain't no Deebo Samuel.
No, he don't run.
I'm not talking about pass receiver, but running.
But they're using him on those jet sweeps and stuff, too.
Yeah, but Deebo Samuel. And that
Deebo Samuel's a big man.
Like
he's well-built.
He's like beast mode.
Yeah, he is. It's impossible for a defensive coordinator to really know how to game plan for him when he's on the football field.
Right.
Like, sometimes he's in the game and he's the running back. Sometimes he's in the game and he's the slot receiver. Sometimes he's in the game and he's the outside guy. Then they motion him into the backfield. I mean, they do so many different things with him. And everybody knows in certain situations he's getting the ball and he's still making plays. He's making people miss. He's getting big games. He's been one of the best players, obviously, throughout the season. But in the playoffs, I mean, he's got to be up there as the most important player for sure in the playoffs.
Lance, that's a good comment. I really believe that. As far as important person, what he means to that football team, you're absolutely right. Lance, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. And one thing I'll say about Hebert, he can talk almost as much as Fletcher can.
Well, the only thing is we need more Lance Moore in the Saints uniform. If we have that, we're going to be all right. Because if it hits his hands, he's going to catch it.
Thank you, Lance. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Lance.
Lance Moore, former Saints wide receiver. Now you can hear him on the WDSU on Channel 6. He does commentary on Saints games pre and post. We'll be back with more here on Sports Talk, and we'll open up the phone lines right back and get your questions and thoughts to us. So we'll be right back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. And we're fortunate to have Deuce McCallum, Oakland Heart Jewelers, talking text line. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I'll throw it to you like I did Lance. You were here before Sean. And so you got to see the early Sean and the evolution of him as a head coach and then seeing him also as the broadcaster. And Zach brought it up, so did Lance, was that, you know, his greatest trait was his ability to adjust to the player of today. And I think that takes a lot to do because some people are rigid. They're not going to change for anything. And yet Sean's success has a lot to do with he had certain things he wanted, but he was able to adjust to the players of today.
Well, and I think Deuce would agree with this.
No, Bobby.
Hey, Deuce was a hard ass when you were first playing.
One question, Bobby.
Okay.
One question.
Okay.
What's your question?
No, the question is, was Sean a hard ass when you first, the coaching transition? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I want to fight him.
Okay, yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, he changed throughout the years.
I wanted to fight him. I wanted to fight Coach Payton. I mean, and it was, one, he wouldn't give me the ball, but he was wearing us out. I mean, he was wearing us out.
Amen.
And that was one thing that he alluded to was, you know, just how tough and how he had to change the mentality of the team and the franchise and the organization. And for us, we had to be tougher. And so it was different.
Yes.
And you have to remember, for me, I was coming off of ACL surgery, but I had success before Sean Payton. I had been to the Pro Bowl. I had been an all-pro player, you know, and so I'm like, look, I don't know if I need to be doing all of this. And he got me to buy in, though. He got me to buy in, and from a respect level, it just changed a lot. And as we got to know each other better, as we got to know each other, obviously, even off of the field, you know, the relationship continued to grow. And, you know, the one thing that I could say about it, just from being around him and knowing him and listening to him, I think he's at peace. I think he's at peace with the decision. It was not an easy decision. It was not an easy decision. And I think that I don't even know if he's 100%. I know he doesn't know what's next, but I think that.
Well, he's not retired,
he needs
dude.
Recharge.
He ain't retired. Yeah, I'd say more recharge. He wants to recharge the battery.
He needs to recharge.
Yeah, exactly. He's not retired. He's like, and you know, Deuce, the Who Dat Nation, we appreciate this. And then Sean Payton, all of a sudden, the Eagles in the dome. And we had the rugby type play, and you were a big part of that. I mean, that had to be special, considering what Sean Payton's trying to establish with the team going forward.
Well, Bobby, there's so many moments and memories. I'll never forget the phone call that I got from. It started with Fred McAfee first, him letting me know that Mickey and Sean wanted to talk to me. It was a Friday morning. I mean, it was. Well, no, it was basically you had to be there Friday morning, but
okay,
to bring me back, you know, just to have that conversation with me, and that was a Thursday. Look, we need you here. We want you here. We want you to be a part of it. You know, and that's always going to be special. That's always going to be special. Me having a conversation, the tough conversation of with Sean of, hey, look, you know, I'm moving on. Basically, you know, giving, I'm cutting you. Maybe not saying the words cut you, but having that conversation and inviting me to be a part of that staff. But, you know, my pride at that time wouldn't allow me to do that.
Right.
Pride at that
man,
time.
Man, you're like, screw them. Like, what? I'm already broke.
I want to play. You know, I'm not to the point where I want to retire and say I'm done. I want to play. And so him growing with us as far as players being able to say, hey, look, I'm going to come out and be a part of X, or you guys, you're going where? All right, I'm going to come out and I want to be a part of it. Or him saying, all right, I know the vets are back here doing something they have no business doing. I'm going to come back here for a few minutes and be a part of it. I mean, to have him to be able to grow like that, and one of the conversations that you're talking about that Zach mentioned, just having that conversation with him about how he had to change as far as how he talked to guys, and not necessarily in a manner where they didn't understand, but to adapt to what helped them, you know, what they understood as he had been in the league 10 years, 11 years.
So how
years,
do you, you
and,
know,
and now he has to connect with them.
Yeah, you know, Deuce, how do you communicate? Because I look at your career. Listen, I mean, I admire what you did, because when you consider that the confrontation, what you face, okay, Ricky Williams. Okay, what the hell, Ricky Williams? And then you get Reggie Bush. I mean, I'm freaking
running back.
I'm freaking Deuce, but wait, I'm freaking Deuce McAllister, But then you got Ricky Williams and Reggie Bush and how you bought in. Now listen, I think the Houdat Nation will respect you eternally from that perspective going forward because, listen, it's all about competition. But where are you at? I mean, we always want to get better. But that's high-profile profile guys in Ricky Williams and Reggie Bush, and you were able to handle that.
Hey, it's competition. I mean, and it's competing. When it wasn't my job, I said I'm gonna go take the job. And it was when it was my job, I said I'm not going to make it easy for you know you to be able to take it. But I want to help you as well because, like I said, I had had individual success. It got me nowhere. So being a team player, if that's what it takes, then I'm willing to do it. You know, just to be able to say I want to make the playoffs.
Now, you know, Deuce, how important this was because this shows you how you're a team player and the Houdat Nation would always embrace you for life and that you bring in the wood. That all of a sudden you're going in front of the team, Super Bowl season, to be able to be a part of that. Even though you're not a significant part as far as being a guy that's going to get the 25, 30 carries, whatever, but you're still part of the team and how the Saints made you feel. I mean, just reflect on that because I don't think we've ever talked about this because you were bringing the wood, and I think the players and the fan base respected that.
Yeah, Reggie wasn't supposed to bring the bat out on the field.
Okay,
that was something that was supposed to stay inside. Reggie brings the bat out on the field, and I told the guys, look, man, my job is not to allow you to screw it up. My job is to make sure that you don't screw it up. And yeah, me and Sean, we had the conversation about being able to if we make it to the Super Bowl. I wanted the opportunity to dress. I wanted the opportunity to play. But that would have taken us being completely healthy.
Right.
And we could not – it was basically the first game we had to let Rodney Leslie – I think it was Rodney Leslie that got hurt. And so now they needed a body. They needed an extra guy. And obviously my spot, you know, the guy that wasn't dressing, had just been there a couple of days, became the guy that – We've got to put you on IR, but we still want you to be a part of it. I mean, but just to even get that phone call to be a part of it, that was pretty special. But,
amen.
Yeah, we had the outside conversation like, look, you know, if y'all make it, I want to dress. I might not get one carry or you only give me one carry, but I'll be in a good enough shape where I could help and contribute. And
amen.
We, you know, that was something that, hey, look, you know, we'll see what happens, but – you know, we've got to be perfect health and a lot of other stuff because if I need that roster spot, I'm coming to get that roster spot. And,
well,
of course, happened in the first after the first game.
And, you know, Deuce, before we go to the break right quick, I know a lot of pressure. You never want to be the man to replace the man. It'd be a lot of pressure the next Saints head coach. I mean, come on.
If it's Dennis Allen, if it's Aaron Glenn,
whoever
they got a lot of pressure on them.
Because come on.
We got plenty of time to speculate on that. We'll enjoy this moment today.
All right,
Deuce. Thanks so much. Gonna have a lot eventful off season, I do suspect, and it's already cranked up that way. But we appreciate your time
tonight, Deuce.
All right, no problem, fellas.
Thank you, Deuce. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. All right, that was it for a third hour of Sports Talk. We'll be back one more hour starting at 7:10. But, we got some bills to pay, so we're going to go.
Yeah, we got a lot of phone calls.
Got a lot of phone calls we got to get to. But right after this news break here on the Big 870, a lot more Sports Talk with Mike and Bobby.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Hosted Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,